So, this is the last sermon. Wow. So I've been thinking, what can I possibly say to you at the end of a journey like this? Journey that we've shared for 16 months that has been filled with challenge and filled with joy. You know, on the first Sunday that I was in this pulpit, I shared with you a story of calling, specifically of God calling the boy Samuel. And I told you that you too have a call. You have a call. And the subject of calling is a really important one because, as I hope I've said often enough, let me say it one more time, every single Christ follower is called to ministry. You have a call. Callings are not just for pastors. Not by a long shot. And they're not just for the kind of work that gets done ordinarily inside of the walls of a building like this, of this beautiful sanctuary. If you are not actively pursuing a God-given call, then you will be stuck. Your spiritual pilgrimage will come to a grinding halt. You will not grow into the person God designed you to be, and you will not enter the richness of the life that God has for you, individually or as a congregation. And so I want to share with you again, one last time, about calling, about the importance of it. And I'd like to take you back to the Old Testament once more, to a time before even Samuel and the judges were born, to a time just after Moses had died, to the time when God called Joshua to step into Moses' very large sandals and lead the Israelites into the promised land. So let me give you some historical context. In other words, one last history lesson. So for 40 years, after God freed them from slavery in Egypt, the Israelites wandered in this circuitous route through the desert, because with failing faith, they had refused to obey God and to conquer Canaan. You'll recall that when 12 spies were sent to scope out the territory of Canaan, 10 of them came back and they convinced the leaders that Canaan could not be conquered. And so the people wandered until the faithless generation died and a new generation was ready to cross the Jordan and possess the land. Well, Joshua was one of the two spies who did believe that with God's help, the Israelites could and must conquer Canaan. Who was the other spy? Sunday school. Caleb and Joshua. Just checking. So, I'm still a Sunday school teacher. I can't help it. So, Joshua knew this land could be conquered with God's help. And so, this task has fallen to him to take Israel into the promised land. And this is going to be a momentous event for Joshua and his people. See, Israel had been waiting for this for generations. Way back in the time of Abraham, before Israel was even a nation, before Abraham had any children at all, the Lord promised that Abraham's children would become a great nation and that they would inherit and inhabit the land of Canaan. So for well over 400 years, God's people have been waiting for this moment. And Joshua's calling will be to lead the people into that long-awaited fulfillment. And I suspect Joshua, he felt probably the exhilaration of it, but even more so probably the pressure of leading in this really pivotal time. Because the obstacles were huge. Joshua knew it. He'd seen it. He knew that the land was filled not only with giant produce, but also with giant people who were very well prepared to fight. And in addition, Joshua knew he was following in the footsteps of the greatest leader that his people had ever known. The closing words of Deuteronomy, which is the book right before Joshua, The closing words, they paint this picture of Moses' exceptional relationship with the Lord and this, the remarkable undertakings that he had done. It says, quote, "No prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." End of quote. How do you want to follow that? How would you like to have to step into those shoes? Joshua needed strength, and he needed courage to follow in those footsteps. And so God's call to Joshua contains this encouraging refrain. I shared it with the kids. It's a refrain right through each piece. He says, "Be strong and courageous." Don't you love it that God knows we need to hear that? Be strong and courageous. And so I thought that also seemed like a fitting refrain for you and for me as we each prepare to continue in our journeys into new territory, albeit in separate directions. Be strong and courageous. I've been saying that to myself all week, too. Be strong and courageous. It's such an important refrain that God does say it to Joshua three times in just 9 verses. And it's almost as if God's reaching out and he's grabbing Joshua and us by the lapels, and he's just saying, listen. And he's not coddling us. He's giving us this powerful command to follow his call, even into the unknown. And even when the river to be crossed is running at flood level, and even when hanging back with friends sounds so much more comfortable and appealing than facing giants in some inevitable battles. But be strong and courageous is the word. So let's turn together to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. I'll only be reading 9 verses this morning. So let's go ahead and read those. This is the word of the Lord. Listen to this amazing word. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to you, to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.'" This is the word of the Lord, and let's thank God for it. Thanks be to God for his powerful word. So, well, first comes the assignment. "Moses, my servant's dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them, to the Israelites." So Joshua, again, he clearly needs courage and strength, but praise God, whenever God calls people, he gives them what they need. I can tell you that from experience. I bet many of you could bear testimony to that as well. When God calls you, he gives you what you need in order to fulfill that calling. And sometimes it's surprising. And when you wake up and you do things that you know you just can't do and nobody ever taught you how to do, and you're like, all right, God did that because I know I sure couldn't have done that. That's amazing, and it's a fact, and you can bank on that. You can count on that forever. God will give you what you need, and God will give them what they need. So the Lord first tells Joshua to be strong and courageous on the basis of God's promise. The Lord says, "Be strong and courageous because you will lead the people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors." From generation to generation, the Lord has proven himself faithful in keeping his word, so Joshua can be strong and courageous, first on the basis of God's unfailing covenant promise. And so that's why we need that perspective of history. That's why I love to do this, you know, kind of God's up here doing something, moving towards eternity. And our lives down here are kind of up and down and up and down, and our circumstances are everywhere. But God is faithfully fulfilling his promises towards an ending that he has in mind. So I like to keep that perspective in mind. God is faithful, and that's the basis, the anchor for this assignment. We honor God in our willingness to trust him during uncertain times. And God wants us to walk across the river and face the challenges. I read this in one of the commentaries. Somebody said, there's no such thing as courage apart from mission, apart from God's calling. You're not just courageous to be courageous, but you are courageous for something. Joshua could accept the challenge because he recognized God's promise to him and was certain of God's faithfulness. In essence, God said to Joshua, if you accept the challenge, I'll commit myself to you. And I want to pause and take note for a minute. Because, listen, although Moses died, nothing of God had died. As one writer put it, therefore we shouldn't fear the loss of any of his human instruments. God isn't fearful of his cause failing, end of quote. You know, I've been thinking, a lot of people have stood in the front of this sanctuary. This is an old building. And remember, we celebrated the anniversary. This is an old church back to when they were worshiping in a barn. A lot of different people have stood here before me, and a lot of them will do so after me. And God, John is arriving soon. At some point, John will leave, and then somebody else is going to come. People, human instruments, are coming and going across the stage of history. But God never changes. Nothing of God has died with Moses. Nothing of God will die, period. So God in Christ is your true shepherd. Remember that. He's going to be here long after we're all dead and buried. So cling to God. Cling to God. Cling to God. Cling to God. Not to the people who populate the stage for any amount of time. So when God challenges you to step out into the unknown, do it. Pick up your feet and follow God. And that's, after all, what we call this a journey of faith. You have to move. And as greater minds than mine have said, God cannot move a parked car. So God is faithful. He hasn't changed. You can rely on his promises. When he says go, go. But God also provides us with guidance, with a map. So one of the key themes of the story of Joshua, again, is actually guidance. And the guidance from God for daily living can be found in his word. That was the second part of the text. By staying in touch with God, we'll have the needed wisdom to meet the challenges. One author wrote, success or failure in a mission is tied to our relationship to truth. End of quote. So here, in between the Lord's first call to courage, which is based on his promises past, and in between the third call to courage, which is going to be based on his continuing presence, the second call to courage is different. It is a command. The Lord tells Joshua, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. If a person has God's word continually in their mouth, the mind remembers it and the heart is transformed. I love, one of the things I love about this congregation is your focus on God's word. You understand that the word of God is not optional. And Joshua understood that this obedience to the law given by Moses would provide a tether that keeps his work in continuity with everything that Moses has done. So it puts Joshua and it puts us in this proper posture that we talked about last week of humility and submission to God. Because God commands, it reflects God's character, his word does. So following the law of Moses is going to keep Joshua close to God's heart, and following the law as given to us in the scriptures is going to keep us close to God's heart. So please, please, please be in God's Word, not just on Sunday. It's not just a Sunday morning thing for the pastor to do. And we can't, it's really important, it says it's all of God's Word. So one of the things I have to say to you is that we can't treat Scripture as a buffet. I get really frustrated when people sort of cherry pick from Scripture so that they can make a certain point that they want. Know God's Word. You don't necessarily have to do all the deep history, but when you have that sense of the history of God's work among His people in the past, you'll have the confidence to know that something serious is anchored here and going on. Know it and obey it. Pastor John asked in his sermon, where is the church on Tuesday? And I thought about that, because are you kind of afraid? Are we afraid of stepping into our calling outside of Sunday morning? Maybe we're afraid we don't know what to say or to do. Can I just tell you, if you don't know, ask God to help you. And if you're not sure what the next step is, then just do the next thing that you know to do. Maybe it's just putting your baby to bed or washing the dishes or calling your mom, and stay close to God and stay in His Word, and you will discern His call, and then you will step into it. Please be strong and courageous, because you have God's promises to anchor you and God's Word to guide you. And thirdly, you also have the assurance of God's presence. Be strong and courageous. The Lord tells Joshua to do this on the basis of God's personal, powerful, ongoing presence. Do not be terrified, he says. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Ultimately, the success of Joshua's leadership and the welfare of God's people is dependent on the abiding presence of God. That's what you have here. Everything around change, everything around can be chaos, but abiding presence of God. When the Lord goes with His people, they have all the reason in the world to be strong and courageous, and so do you. And even as we cross rivers and rugged terrain and battles and giants and worst of all, the unknown, hate not knowing, God never calls us to do anything apart from Him. You know, do you think God's going to leave Joshua high and dry? No. Think He's going to leave you high and dry? No. If God's called you, He is with you. Another great quote from this wonderful, this is my favorite, one of my favorite commentators. He says, courage doesn't mean that we are not afraid. It means that we fear God more than we fear our circumstances. It means that we trust in divine resources more than the resources of human beings. End of quote. And Phillips Brooks said this, don't ask for tasks equal to your powers. Ask for powers equal to your tasks. So some good wisdom for us. People of Israel, they're willing to face the challenges ahead because they know God's going to be with them. God's word carries the assurance that Joshua was never going to be forsaken or alone. And you know what? Over 1,000 years after Joshua crosses that river, the same God called His people to a new work, and He guided by His word and the assurance of His presence, and He sent His son Jesus, in the Hebrew, Yeshua, or Joshua, means the Lord saves. But rather than just saving His people from physical harm, He saves His people from the greater enemy, and that's sin. And so Gabriel, the angel, told Mary, you're to give this child the name Jesus, because He will save His people from His sins. He's the only one who ever perfectly kept God's law, and He's the one who brings all of God's promises to fulfillment. Just as the Lord told Joshua, I'll never leave you or forsake you, so Jesus promises His people, surely I am with you always to the end of the age. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there's a scene, I don't know how many of you have read Narnia Chronicles, but there's a scene in which Lucy and her friends, they're sailing toward what appears to be an island, only to discover that it's no island at all. It's darkness. And the crew make a foolhardy decision to enter into the darkness, only to discover that within the utter blackness, it's a place where dreams, like the kind of dreams that are really nightmares, come true. And they turn the ship and they try to sail out of this darkness, but they can't. And they begin to hear from within the darkness the sounds of horrible things that they fear the most. And Lewis writes, quote, Lucy leant her head on the edge of the fighting top and whispered, Aslan, Aslan, If ever you've loved us at all, send us help now. And the darkness did not grow any less, he says, but she began to feel a very, very little better. And then Lucy saw something approach, an albatross. It circled the ship, and then it perched, and it called out in a strong, sweet voice what seemed to be words, though no one understood them. And that after that, it spread its wings and rose and began to fly slowly ahead, bearing a little to the starboard, and they steered after it, not doubting that it offered good guidance. But no one except Lucy knew that as it circled the mast, it had whispered to her, "Courage, dear heart." And the voice she felt sure was Aslan's. And with the voice, a delicious smell breathed in her face. End of quote. Lucy found courage and strength in the whispered voice. Joshua found it in God's words. And through his living word, the same God still speaks courage to you and wisdom into our lives. And at the very end of Joshua's life, he's going to say to the people, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So we're on a journey. As believers, we've always got to be progressing and growing and moving and changing. But let's face this, sometimes we do stop short, just like the Israelites did. We stop short of crossing that river into the promised land. And, you know, they wandered in the desert because of that. And so our stopping short, you know, sometimes it's the result of holding on to particular sin, but I think for most of us, it's fear. Don't be afraid. That's why he keeps telling us that. We simply sometimes refuse to follow God's direction because of fear. It would be a lot easier just to stay where you are and stay put, wouldn't it? But I want to remind you of an illustration that I just used briefly, I don't know, months ago. Do you remember me talking about my professor, Christy Wilson, who was a missionary to Afghanistan? He and his wife went off in the 1950s, and it was a tough field. And so years later, they were booted out of Afghanistan, and they came to Gordon Conwell Seminary, where they taught, and he taught missions. And at one point, after his retirement, the last time I talked to him, I had to face something that was really hard, and frankly, I was really scared. And so I called him, and I asked him to pray for me, right? I said, "Would you just please pray for me? I have to do this." And so he listened to me, and I know he did pray. I'm no question about it. But here's what he said, and I want to leave this with you, because he said it with such love, and yet it was a challenge, too. He just said, "Dallas, if Betty and I had been afraid, we never would have gone to Afghanistan." It wasn't really a rebuke. It didn't feel like it. And yet at the same time, it said, "Dallas, don't be afraid. You got to go. God's calling you." If I were afraid, you know, if we were afraid, we never would have gone to Afghanistan. And they built a church there. They changed lives there. For the Israelites, getting to where God wanted them meant facing their challenges with the promised presence of God as God directed. And nothing's changed today. No one knows what the future holds, of course. And we keep facing the new and the unknown. And most of us fear the unknown so that we settle for the problems instead of facing the challenges. We settle for stuckness. That's this word I keep coming back to, because it seems safer than taking on the giants. So friends, don't stop short of entering what God has prepared for you. I don't know what that's going to look like down the road. Decide to follow the Lord wherever he leads you, whatever it costs. Don't get stuck out of fear. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. What are the things God's been preparing you personally to do? These are just some words to think about. When did you last reassess God's call in your life personally? What are those things that God has given you a passion for? Do they look scary? Too big to tackle? Be strong and courageous. That's what I want to leave you with. Don't miss those things. Even if the assignment looks tough and the Jordan River is at flood stage, don't stop short because it looks scary. Be strong and courageous and step into your calling with confidence. Know God's word. Speak it, meditate on it, obey it. It's not just a Sunday morning exercise for the pastor. It's your lifeline to God. Be strong and courageous and cling to the presence of God. Never ever forget that he will be with you wherever you go. Human shepherds will come and go, but God's never going to leave your side. So be strong and courageous. Well, that's it. That's all I could think of to say. Embrace God's assignment. Embrace God's word. Embrace God's presence. After all, I think embracing is a really good thing. Hoping to do some later today. Thank you for embracing me during this season of your journey. Thank you for the privilege of embracing you during this season in my journey. And please know that I am grateful and that I wish for you deep, deep joy in your journey. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, thank you for your word that reminds us along the journey of life that seems so just so uncertain and so challenging at times and filled with giants and darkness and flooding rivers and fear, that we don't have to be afraid, that we are anchored in your promises that you have consistently kept throughout all human history, that we are filled with your word and guided by it, and Lord, that we can be confident in your guidance and presence with us, that you will never forsake us or leave us. Hold closely these wonderful people who are called to this place to serve you. Don't let them stop short of stepping into whatever it is that you have for them. If they're afraid, give them courage. Remind them to be strong and courageous. Challenge them. Challenge them, even with high waters and giants, because on the other side of your call, whatever that call is the promised land. It's your presence and it's your very best for them. Don't let them stop short of becoming everything that you've designed them to be. Give them confidence in you. Give them courage. Give them sweet fellowship and give them deep, deep joy in their journey with you. I commit them into your care in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please